T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2, WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, hour number 2 of the Hurricane Hotline. 12 o'clock, Miami and Toledo. We'll be on the air at 8 a.m. Goodness gracious.
Breakfast,
you got to get up early.
Get up early and run, Joe.
Get up early and run. We got to get up early and get to the stadium. 8 o'clock pregame show.
Yeah, so what time would 3 hours before?
You're going to go run at 5 a.m. It's still going to be pretty dark outside.
Yeah, run five. Me and Dr. Kaplan will
You enjoy that run.
Yeah, we'll do that. Go log our little hour run. Pregame is what, 4 hours, 3 hours before or four hours before?
I'll be watching the inside of my eyelids.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
At 5 a.m.
I've never been to that stadium. I'm kind of looking forward to it. That's going to be a little interesting deal.
Of all the places, I don't know that I've ever been to Toledo, Ohio, to be quite honest with you.
I haven't either.
I don't even really know where it is. It's like an hour away from Detroit.
After the game last week, I didn't know if it was Toledo or Akron or Columbus. I didn't know where we're going. I knew we're going to Ohio.
So you got to go there with a lot of respect because
you better.
They've won 11 games last year. Miami should be the more talented team, but this is an offense that gives a lot of people fits, and it'll be big for the Miami defense, in particular the defensive line. And Hurricanes defensive line coach Jess Simpson is joining us right now. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., Hurricanes defensive line coach Jess Simpson. Coach, good evening. How are you, and welcome to the show?
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on. Doing well, thanks.
How's your stay been so far here at the University of Miami, and why was this a good fit for you?
Man, our stay has been great. I think it's been a great fit because they're just, I always say your people decisions are your most important decisions, and there are great people here. Coach Rick and the administration, everybody here has been great to me. I really love the staff and the assistant coaches, and certainly enjoyed being with Coach Diaz on the defensive side of the ball and the guys that we have over there. So I've really enjoyed my time with the people so far.
Jess, how was it going out recruiting this year and having the U on your shirt and being welcomed all over the country on the recruiting tour?
Yeah, it was really fun. I spent about 5 weeks on the road this spring and really was all over the country. Got to spend a little bit of time in my home state of Georgia, and that was fun to see old faces and see people you've had relationships for a long time and then get to know people down here in the state of Florida. So, excited about where we are in recruiting D linemen and, hoping we sign a great class of young men to come in here and add to what we have.
Yeah, let's pick up on that for a moment. We can't mention any names, obviously, but you mentioned the state of Georgia, and Georgia's producing some great players. And one of the things about the South, Southeastern Conference, it's a line of scrimmage league. There are great defensive linemen in the Southeastern Conference. Georgia's battling to get those guys, Alabama, and so is the University of Miami, right, Coach? You're in the thick of some of those battles in the Southeast, which is where a lot of the defensive linemen currently reside.
No doubt. We're in a ton of battles, and every day is a battle. But you know what? I think when you're at Miami, you can sign great players who are also great people, and I've really enjoyed the kids that I've been recruiting.
Coach, I look at their defensive leaders on the stat chart for the defense. You've got Jonathan Garvin is leading the team in tackles with 16. He's leading the team with tackles for loss with 6. He's already got a sack. And then at number 4 is Willis, and he didn't hardly play much last week. And this guy's sitting there with 9 tackles. So the production has been pretty darn good these first 2 ball games, especially out of those 2 guys.
Yeah, those 2 guys. And, and D-line play is really about, playing together. You really can't play good by yourself. All 4 of you, in the game got to play well together so we can all have success. And that's probably what's been the most fun for me to watch so far is, how the guys play together, how they complement each other, you know, how they know they're an extension of each other and how they play the game. But, you know, we're in a penetrating, attacking defense, and we need those guys running off the ball and being disruptive. And you know, we're certainly not satisfied, but excited about what it can be.
Coach, you got Demetrius Jackson coming back this week. How much will that help your rotation?
Man, it'll help a ton. You know, a guy with, you know, an old hat for us in the room, a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, and, you know, a sturdy guy who's physical at the point of attack, and I think can also add something off the edge rushing. But, you know, anytime you can get a guy like that back, we certainly need him.
Coach Silvera made to play of the game, at least for my broadcast partner, Joe. He about jumped out of the booth when he saw Silvera drive the up back all the way into the punter, block the kick, and take over the whole play.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's funny. We were kind of in a safe punt look, and, you know, the four down guys are supposed to secure and make sure the ball's kicked. And you know, Jay looks to the sideline. He said he saw Manny give a go signal, so he – you know, he went, and it was a great play for him. You know, that was his first real action last Saturday, and thought, you know, he certainly did some good things. And there's all, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, what grade or level you're at, you're always things you can get better at. But I think he really enjoyed himself and certainly did some positive things.
You know, I thought it was a great play is, and maybe you can help me out in this, Coach, but the reason I thought it was a great play is because some guys just instinctually find a way to help your team. And I think, you know, in that play, he's going to try to block the punt. He can't get there. So, hey, the next best thing, let's just turn this into a bowling ball. I'm going to smash this guy in front of me right into the punter, and that's the way it's going to be disruptive. Just an instinctual, how can I help my team make a play?
Yeah, and, you know, D linemen like to run into people, and he's one of those kids that enjoys that. And he does have some good instincts about it. You know, he's figuring out what it takes to play at this level and the fundamentals and the things that are involved and all the scheme that's in it. And he's really, really started to pick things up. So we're looking for big things out of him.
Coach, I'm going to butcher this name like everybody has, but Tito Odenigbo.
Odenigbo.
Oh, yeah.
Odenigbo.
Oh. I'm not even going to ask you how to say
close.
It. How about that?
Odenigbo.
You got it. Yeah.
I just call him Tito.
man, I've loved having Tito. He's been great in our room. He's a really nice kid with a big personality. The fellas really like him. A talented young man, very, very athletic, very strong. But he's really added something to us. And, you know, he's a guy that's pushing for more playing time because he's done a good job with what he's gotten so far.
Coach, this offensive line that you're going up against this week, Toledo, they've had some changes. Actually, it's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. I got a guy from Florida State in there at right tackle, a transfer from Florida State. What do you see in their offensive line, and what is this offense? What is the challenge of this offense for your defensive line?
Well, I think the challenge for us defensively is they, you know, they run more conflict or RPOs than maybe anybody will see all year. And for that, as a D lineman, it means that they're going to block the run, and the running back's going to run like he's got the ball. And, you know, the quarterback gets to make a decision if he wants to give it or if he wants to throw the ball in the perimeter. So, you know, there's not as much drop back pass on first and second down. We got to be great and sound versus the run and in our run fits. You know, everybody that knows football knows these guys they're very well coached. They do a really good job on offense, and you know, they're going to pose some problems for everybody they play. So we're just locked in on getting ready for them.
Coach Jonathan Ford came in right as camp started last year and just really kind of got his feet wet. And I watched it during the spring and the fall, and you've really spent a lot of time with him. And he has certainly improved greatly under your tutelage.
You know what? I would say, you know, if you talk to our strength staff, they'd probably say arguably the most improved guy in our program. And I think as a D lineman from – the first day I got here until today, he has really, really improved. And what's fun is how much better he's gotten, but just knowing the ceiling is so high for this kid. He's a great athlete. His knowledge is improving every day. He's learning how to play. He's a young player, but just a huge upside and a great kid, man. I mean, just you love having him around. He loves football, and it's going to be really special, I think.
Joe Jackson is a captain this week. How important is he for your defensive attack, and what is his potential moving forward?
You know what? Joe is, you know, one of the veterans of our group, and, you know, has played a whole lot of snaps, made a whole lot of plays here at Miami, and you know, he's a guy that we have to lean on. You know, I always tell everybody, you know, Joe is highly competitive. He's an extremely tough kid. Just plays really, really hard. Has really good technique, and you know, he can rush the passer. He can set the edge in the run. He can move and get inside and mix it up. We move our front. He can do a lot. Joe's a really good player with a big upside at night.
Coach, I wouldn't be surprised in the late November or in December around banquet time, we're going to have to talk about what a great job Pat Bethel has done as an unsung hero. He just comes to work every single day, and he's nothing but effort.
Nothing but. And if you know his family and how he's been raised, I mean, he's just an unbelievable kid. But blue-collar, hardworking, never make excuses, a guy you can depend on all the time. And he's another guy, you know, just an older version of probably a John Ford, in that from the day I've gotten here until now, you know, he's a guy who just steadily improves every week. You know, never a flashy guy, but, man, a guy you can lean on and be dependable and smart and tough and physical and all the things you got to have up there.
Coach Jess Simpson is with us here tonight. We haven't mentioned Patchen. He scored the touchdown the other day.
That's right.
He was a tight end last year and didn't score. This year he's a defensive end. He does score.
Yeah. That's right. That's why you want to play D-line.
I just figure this much with him. He's so tall. If he just gets his arms up at the very least, he can be a factor by deflecting passes. But where is his game now?
You know what? Scott has done a really good job for me. You know, obviously he played tight end a year ago, got to move him back to defensive end, and he's a guy who is really, really good off the edge, very physical, very sound in his run fits, and is a powerful rusher as well. And, you know, he's a fun kid to coach. He loves the game and has a good knowledge of the game, but really enjoyed watching him grow as a player and expecting big things out of him as well this fall.
Coach, you watch the offensive line more than anybody except Stacy Searles, because in these one-on-ones, you're dissecting them as well. And I've seen a lot of improvement over them in the last couple of weeks, but also just getting these guys situated in their position with more and more reps, they are just positively going to get better.
No doubt. And, you know, Coach Searles and I go back a long, long time. He's a great coach and a great person. So we're all both Auburn guys. So we got those Auburn roots, and we worked together back in the early 90s, back in the back in the GA office. But, you know, heck of a coach. He's got a great young group. And certainly, you know, watching them get better in protection and the run game. And, you know, we swap paint with those guys every single day. So I know the job he's doing. It's fun watching those guys get better now, too.
You, Coach, you mentioned from Georgia, recruiting that area. We take a lot of pride, obviously, in the high school football down here. Is there a comparison between the two areas, between the state of Georgia and really South Florida high school football?
Yeah, I think you know, when you look at the best programs in both states, I think it's real, real even. I mean, there's really, really good football in both of these states, no doubt. And, you know, I know there's been some crossover games early in the season, and I know some of them gone Florida's way, and I'm sure a couple have gone Georgia's way. But the best programs in these states are really, really good high school football.
Coach, we didn't hit on Jordan Miller. He's the true freshman, I believe. He got in. He didn't get any tackles, but it's important to get him on the field and let him understand what game conditioning means.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, he's a fun kid. Jordan is really taking well to coaching. Jordan's a kid who's already begun to change his body. He's only been here 3 months. Very disciplined kid. He's a kid who wants to please and do right, hardworking and tough. Quiet, but, you know, when you get him talking, he's got a big personality. But really excited he's with us. And you know, he's a big man, but he's a big man with really good feet. And I think if you watch him over the next few years, he's going to be a really good player here as well.
Coach, you were at the Atlanta Falcons. What was that experience like in the NFL, and how does it compare to the college game?
Well, you know, how the NFL was a great experience for me. You know, working for Dan Quinn, who I consider one of the, you know, Dan Quinn's a lifelong D-line coach and is in the D-line room every day, and just got to work hand in hand with him. But the part about it that I enjoyed the most was the ball was great, but during the off season, you get to work so much on the draft and free agency and learning what, you know, head coaches and general managers and owners are looking for in players, from character to skill sets to measurables. And understand that, and then being able to bring that here to Miami and letting these guys know, hey, this is, you know, this is what it looks like. You know, this is what a first rounder does, and this is how they prepare, and this is how they work, and this is what folks are looking for, and this is how you do things. So I really enjoyed that part of it, and it was a great experience. You know, I just felt like this was the place I was supposed to be, and working for Mark Richt, and you know, I think being the D-line coach at Miami is one of the best jobs in the country. I mean, when you say those two things together, the tradition of this place and then the tradition of the D-line room and the players that have played here, certainly I consider it an honor to be here and be doing this.
Well, we are certainly glad to have you here with the University of Miami, and thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. We'll see you on Friday as we get on the airplane, and the very best of luck on Saturday against those Toledo Rockets.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Take care. That's Coach Jess Simpson joining us, and you can see why or hear why Coach Richt hired him.
Well, what a great hire. Right? Yeah. What an outstanding recruiter. If you look at the what Miami's got in the works for this 2019 class at the defensive line position, a lot of that has to do with Jess, and he's relentless. And I spend a ton of time watching Coach Searles and Coach Simpson work, and both of them are – heavily focused on technique and are very intense guys that are looking for top-end effort on every single rep, and it's starting to pay off. And I think that Jess Simpson made a great choice in being here, and Mark Richt made a great hire.
I can't think of it'll come to me momentarily, but when Miami was great, they had first-round draft choices playing defensive tackle.
Well,
and, you know, you got to really, in order to get defensive tackles, you are in a slugfest, a recruiting slugfest, and you've got to get into the area where they are being mostly recruited, which is through the Southeast Corridor. And to me, it's all geography, the way it's just kind of moved around, and population. And so you got to be in, and we produce a lot of different things in South Florida, wide right. receivers and defensive backs. Maybe Silvera will change it in terms of defensive linemen, but not great defensive tackles.
No, it's, well, the last first-round pick that was from the state of Florida that played for Miami was Vince Wilfork, wasn't it?
Might have been.
I mean, I think if you check that, I don't know anybody yeah. else. But so that tells you of local, you know, state talent that Miami got on campus. I can't tell you, you know, the guys that were at Florida State or Florida or Central Florida, South Florida, that were first-round picks on the defensive tackle spot at Miami. It was Vince Wilfork from West Palm Beach. So that's been a drought now. And I think that, you know, and we really didn't spend enough time with him on Gerald Willis. Look at
oh,
you
yeah.
want to know
yeah.
the turnaround and what coaching has done for somebody. You're talking about a guy that has been twice suspended, okay, right? I've been out for seasons twice, whether one was transfer, and then the other one, of course, was last year, and now he just turns on a switch. This guy got great coaching in the spring. He's taking the coaching, and I think that when you at the end of the day, you're going to ask Gerald Willis, and he's going to tell you the university's been a great impact on his life. Mark Richt's been a great impact, but also Jess Simpson.
We were talking about first-round defensive linemen. Artie Burns was a defensive back. We're going to have Will Mowry here in a couple of minutes. Before we go to the break, we should mention, a lot of people, I think, have thought about this today. It is 9/11, yeah. 17 years ago, 9/11.
Yeah.
So we do want to mention that, and perhaps people are remembering where they were on 9/11. I know where I was. It was a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So hit me today because I'm in the same place today as it was 17 years ago.
Yeah, me too.
Drinking a cup of coffee, looking at the Today Show, getting ready to go down to talk with Coach Coker, as today I was getting ready to go down to talk with Coach Richt. Same deal. So lots of memorials going on today, lots of reminiscing, and I just wanted to put that out there today that we have not forgotten. Hopefully we'll never forget. So,
never forget.
Coming up next will be Will Mowry. We'll talk with the freshman tight end from Jacksonville who scored, caught his first pass, and it was a touchdown. Nice way to start your career. We'll do that next year on the Hurricane Hotline.
Radio.com 60 and 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
Back on the show, Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., Saturday, Miami and Toledo. 12 o'clock kickoff will be on the air at 8 a.m. There's a big thrill to, for us to watch Will Mowry catch his first pass, and his first pass was a touchdown pass. He's from Jacksonville. He's a freshman. He's joining us on the show right now. I think it's his first radio. It's got to be his first radio appearance, right?
Well, who else would it have been on, right? Got to be us.
Right. All right, so Will Mowry is with us. Will, good evening, and how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you for joining us. Well, what's your experience been like so far at the University of Miami?
I mean, I can't complain. It's been pretty good. It's been a lot of fun getting to work with all the guys here, and I think we're gonna have a pretty good year.
Will, who was in the stands from your family that got to see your first catch as a touchdown?
Well, actually, my mom was the only one who was able to make it down, but my sister was watching up in Gainesville. She skipped the game at UF to watch it on with all of her friends. So, and I think the rest of my family is watching too. But yeah, just my mom made it down.
Now, you come from a football family. You got a football background in the family. Can you take us through that a little bit, or take our audience through it?
My dad coaches, and he played at Michigan, and then both of my uncles coach, and they all played at Michigan too, and then my grandpa coached as well. So it's a pretty big football family.
Well, you went to UM. You just went to a different UM, right?
Yeah, just a different one, a little bit more south.
His dad or one of them had to cross paths with Jim Mandich, right?
DBJ? Mandich would have been in between the dad and the grandfather, right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I would have imagined that. Yeah.
So, and
they know who he is.
Yeah, of course, Mad Dog, great tight end at the University of Michigan. You catch your first pass as a touchdown pass. What was that like for you?
I mean, it was awesome. I mean, the play was designed for that, and I knew if I didn't get that opportunity or if I didn't make that catch, that I probably wouldn't get that opportunity again. And so I had to make the most of it, and it just worked out that way, and it was very exciting.
Talk about your relationship with Brevin Jordan and the night that he had. Mm-hmm. I think he had 7 catches, was leading all receivers.
Oh, yeah.
No surprise there, right?
Oh, no. And he's a heck of a player, and that was very well deserved. He bust his butt, and he does a great job. And yeah, I mean that was bound to happen. When you give him the opportunity, he's going to make plays.
Do you guys have a competition on who can make the most acrobatic catch? Because that's gone back and forth pretty well in practice.
Yeah, no. I mean, we both push each other a lot, and we both know what we're capable of. So I mean, every day's fun going out to get into work together, and we definitely make each other better. And it just so happens that we've both made some pretty good plays, and hopefully more of those to come.
Share with us about the recruiting. I think it was handled perfectly. When you think about the two best tight ends in the country, Coach Hartley did a great job explaining where each one of you would fit and that there's room for both of you at the same time.
Yeah. No, I mean, from day one when they started recruiting us, they pitched us the idea that they've stuck with and that it has come true today. And I think they just did a great job of just being straight up and honest with us and where they see us and what we can do and how we fit in the offense. And I mean, everything that they told us 2 years ago, 3 years ago is exactly what it is today.
Yeah, and they use both you guys a lot of different ways. And as the season unfolds, I think people are going to see what kind of threat both you and Brevin are. But to say the least, you guys are going to be very active tight ends.
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, I hope so. I mean, this is a big year for us. Obviously, we had to step up probably a little bit earlier than we expected with Michael Irvin going down. And I mean, everything has been good. We keep improving every week, and I think it's just getting used to it and just learning the whole system and getting used to college football. And I think we'll just keep improving every week.
Will, was it a big adjustment for the speed of the game? I mean, even having family and generations being around big time college football, you really have to experience to understand it, don't you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I knew. I mean, every time I've heard from my dad of talking about just the different levels, and he just says it gets faster and faster. And I mean, every bit of that is true. You show up, and everyone on the team is unbelievable athletes, and everyone is extremely strong, and they're all really good players. So it's just that you have to get used to that next level, and when you do, it definitely kind of slows down. But I mean, it's still really fast.
What was it like for you to participate in the LSU game? That might be, you know, that might turn out that they might be the best defense you see all year, next to Florida State and Virginia Tech, and obviously Florida State's got some issues. But athletically, what was that like for you going against the LSU defense? They were pretty big, pretty powerful, and pretty fast.
Yeah, no, they're a very good team to play, and I think that's probably a very good situation to be thrown into, because we're probably not going to play in front of a bigger crowd than that on a bigger stage until we get to off season and championship games. And I think that was good. It was eye opening for us to play on that stage and just get used to that speed, because I mean, those guys are some pretty good players over there, and I think that was really helpful to both of us.
Well, what finally led you to the University of Miami? What was the deciding factor that said, I'm going to be a Hurricane?
Pretty much, like, the relationship I had with the coaches, I just felt most comfortable here. And, I mean, it helped that the tradition for tight ends here are just, I mean, it's fantastic. And it's just something that I wanted to be a part of. And I just, the coaches saw a vision for me, and I saw that too. And I just think it was just the right fit for me.
Will, you mentioned earlier you come from a football family. As you were growing up, what were those conversations like with your dad or grandfather? Was there a lot of strategic discussion after a practice or after a game?
Probably not as much as you would think. But, I mean, whenever they were there and whenever they were watching my game, they always were my biggest supporters, but then they'd always be the first one to tell what we can work on. And I mean, coming from a coach, there's always something you can work on. So it was very helpful growing up. I mean, I probably got a lot better pointers than most kids. And I mean, I think I just grew up loving the game more than anything. And it was just such a big part of my family.
I wouldn't be surprised if you told us that mom's a pretty good coach herself, right?
I think all the women in our family have gotten used to this lifestyle, and I think they probably know more than most. And they're definitely our number one fans too, biggest supporters, and yeah, they know a pretty good amount of football.
What are you looking forward to the most this weekend playing Toledo?
I'm really excited because a lot of my family is going to be able to come, because a lot of them are from Michigan. But then also my high school quarterback plays for Toledo too. We're both freshmen, so I'll be excited to see him.
No, let's find out we get any secrets from him. the Toledo defense, I know it's early in the week in practice, but what do you think the challenge is going to be for you going up against a pretty experienced squad?
Yeah, no, I mean, like Coach Rick said, and like all of us know, I mean, they're a championship team. They win the MAC, and they win games. They know how to win, is basically what we've been told and what I've witnessed myself. And it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a great experience to play them. And I mean, I know they're not going to just let us come in there and just dominate. They're going to fight back. So we got to have a good rest of the week of practice, prepare for them, because it's going to be a good one. And just got to go out there and handle business.
When it comes down to recruiting, they always involve a lot of the true freshmen or redshirt freshmen. What are you going to tell the players that you're taking out or the players that you're recruiting to come to the University of Miami? What's the why?
I mean, when we talk to the other tight ends that are looking to come here, I mean, it's just the same thing. You got to see the same thing that we see. We want to be great. I mean, if you're scared to come here because there's competition, then it's probably not the right place for you. But I mean, if you want to come in here, you want to work, and you want to be great, I mean, I think that says enough itself, and that should be a good enough pitch if you fit in.
Well, you've hit it out of the park for your first radio interview, and I suspect now that you're going to be a regular, so thank you so much.
And I'll be looking for you in the post-game locker room show.
Okay, yes, sir. Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right, Will, take care. All right, that's Hurricane tight end Will Mowry joining us. What a nice kid, huh?
Well,
got to root for him.
How do you not root for him? But remember that catch. That's a reason to root for him too, right?
Yeah.
Those two, the combined eight. What was it? Eight catches and three touchdowns for true freshman tight end for the University of Miami. And what a great job recruiting by Todd Hartley and Mark Richt and the university. Really, I mean, because the university sold him. Because it's one thing to get Brevin Jordan to cross over from Las Vegas, and now you have a young man with Mallory who had uncle, father at Michigan, and you know they were all over him, and a grandfather that coached in the Big Ten back in the day at Indiana, and they got him to come to Miami.
Going right into your wheelhouse next, Hayden Mahoney. He's a captain this week. He's going to join us next on the show as we continue right after this on the Hurricane Hotline.
Hotline on AM 560 and 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
Saturday, Miami and Toledo from the Glass Bowl. We'll be on the air at 8 o'clock, 12 o'clock kickoff. The Glass Bowl holds about 27,000. Now, we went to Appalachian State. That joint, they put a bunch of bleachers in there in the end zone. They had a big screen TV. And everybody that lived in Boone was in the stadium that day.
They're looking to break a record at the Glass Bowl.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
The record's 37,000 against Navy.
I
think they made the stadium smaller because they had construction.
I bet we exceed capacity.
Well, I got to put them somewhere.
Standing room only. They're still learning
I'm sure they're going to have
right?
that. Yeah.
Standing room only.
Kane's got to get off to a quick start. How they do that, perhaps Hayden Mahoney can help us out. He is joining us now. He's also going to be a captain on Saturday. Hayden is with us. And Hayden, thanks for taking the time, and good evening.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good. What's it been like for you this year? You're grading out really well. And what's been the difference for you as a starter this year? How did you work yourself into that spot?
I think this hard work and determination, especially in the film study and weight room, putting on the weight, and then once I put on the weight, transition to the field, it was just an overall understanding of the game going forward as you get older, and then just coming in every day and working. That's what's worked for me, and that's what's been working so far, especially
Hayden,
during the season as well.
Hayden, pretty big honor getting named captain for this ball game. Are you going to have a lot of people come over from Pennsylvania to see the game?
I believe so. I believe my mother will come. I think my sister will fly in from 2 years of school in Colorado, so I think she'll come. Maybe my grandparents as well. They just signed up the news today, too, so I think they're going to kind of make the trip.
You going to call heads or tails?
I don't know. I have a game day decision.
Whatever coach says.
Won the toss every time last year. I think this year we're 0-2.
Hayden's gonna break it. Hayden, we had... Right. We had Jess Simpson on earlier in the show, and he was giving us a rundown on the defensive line. That group's turned out to be pretty good. Especially those tackles. That's who you see the most of. How good are those guys?
They're good. They're good. Clear's good team. Good football team. Their D line plays hard. They're experienced veteran team, and we're looking forward to the challenge. They've been playing together for a while, especially their interior and linebackers. So we're coming in, and we know that going in. So we're ready to go, and we're going to communicate and get everybody on the same page so we can come out with a W.
I did mention a quick start, and I mean, in all seriousness, I do think that's important. When the team went to Appalachian State a couple of years ago, it was Mark Walton, 80 yards, first play of the game, took it for a touchdown. How important do you think being a front runner is going to be in this game?
It's going to be important. You know, we compare it to out of state because it's a similar atmosphere, similar game time, everything. And that's what really got us going in out of state was that first play coming out with the right mentality, scoring a touchdown. And, you know, if that happens on Saturday, it happens on Saturday. But we're ready to come out and play. We're just looking forward to it. And, you know, I know the O-line's excited, and I know everybody else is excited, too, to keep this winning thing going.
Hayden, how's the O-line starting to gel? I've been telling everybody the last couple weeks that, you know, Donaldson's never started at tackle except these last two games, and you had one start last year at right guard. Now you're at three, and on the other side, you know, you've got St. Louis, who is a guy that never started on the left-hand side, and then you hear the same thing. Are you guys starting to get this communication thing down, and is it starting to come together?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's definitely coming together as we go along throughout the season. I think we gelled really well in camp, and I think we just got to keep doing that when we verse the opponents. I think, you know, everyone on that line is really close. I know four of us came in together in the same class, and me and Devon are close on the right side. So, you know, communication is key, and you're right. We have a couple guys who are first year in those positions, but, you know, there's no excuse. We just got to keep coming out and play and communicate. That's what we've been trying to work on. So,
Homer got it going a little bit in the game Saturday night. As the game wore on, he started to get a little more comfortable. How important is the running game going to be Saturday?
Very important. That's what we're emphasizing. That's, you know, we want to get our running backs in the end zone every time. That's what we did last year. Last year versus Toledo, we did the first three series. You know, Mark went for a touchdown and went for another. I think it was about a 60-yard run too in the first three series. So we're looking to do that. We're looking to run a lot and do what works best for us. That's established the run game early too.
How's Navon Donaldson adjusting out there at right tackle?
He's doing well. He's learning from Coach Searles, and he's learning. He's getting everything down. He's working out a couple of technique issues, but he's doing well with it. He's works hard every day to try to improve it, and that's what's going to keep him at that starting right tackle job for the rest of the year. Just him working hard at his craft.
You know, one of the things I really like about Coach Rick, one of the many things, he wants you to be a consistent football team, and I think as time wears on, University of Miami is going to be very consistent. I think one of the reasons why it goes back to practice. And every day in practice, you practice run game. You can't be a good running
right.
team if you don't practice run game. And you practice the run game against your frontline defense. How important do you think that is in developing a physical mentality?
It's very important, very important. We start off every day with, you know, when we go live, full pad, we start off with fast start, team run. And that's coming out at, you know, 9:30 in the morning right after meetings and just going fast and getting to the team run, see what we're made up for that day and just setting the tone for the rest of practice. And that's just going to be beneficial for us on Saturday because it's a noon game. It's going to be an early game where we're going to wake up and we're going to be playing. So I think it's going to be very beneficial for us.
Campbell, Reed, Scaife, all those guys are true freshmen on that offensive line and pretty talented bunch. You'll be back next year, and you'll be happy to have those guys gain a little experience and be there as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. They're good players. Obviously, getting older with the playbook and everything, it just comes more naturally to me. And then you don't realize that these guys are freshmen sometimes. I mean, you see DJ Scaife and Cleveland and Campbell, you know, putting guys on the ground and doing well, and you're just like, wow, they did it the first season. You know, it's kind of amazing what they're doing, and I'm looking forward to working with them in the winter, spring, and then going into the next 2019 season.
Coach Richt and Coach Brown both said today that Lorenzo Lingard understands how to earn playing time and has earned some more playing time. What is it like to have him in the backfield? Because it looks like you give him about 6 inches, and he might get 60 yards.
Right. He's fast. He's very fast. And, you know, I think Coach Brown said it best. You know, he's a guy that comes in and knows what he has to do to get playing time. And just once he gets that playbook down, he gets everything down to a T, he's going to be playing a lot. I'm looking forward to what he's going to be able to do because once you give him that space, like you said, he's a tough guy to track down. So I'm going to look forward to see what he can do.
You scored 42 points against them in the second half last year. Do you think there will be any carryover, or is there a carryover from a confidence standpoint going into Saturday's game?
I believe our mission is to go out there fast and do like we did last year. Right? We want to get a better start than last year and keep it going just like that. And then in the second half, come out and score a lot of points again and then come out with a W at high noon in Toledo.
Hayden, how much fun is it to be out on the field playing for the University of Miami? I mean, you worked as hard as anybody's worked and have accepted the challenge that comes with being a starter every day. But it's got to be a whole lot of fun to be on that field during game time.
Yeah, there's no other feeling like it. I don't take it for granted at all, you know, because I've been on the sidelines. I've been wanting to get out there and, you know, just haven't been able to. And I don't take it for granted at all. It's the best feeling in the world running through that smoke and just playing in front of your friends, your family, especially all the Canes fans. I mean, it's just really know if you're going to like it, especially at Hard Rock and your home stadium and all that. That is a feeling that I will never forget.
All right, well, knock a few guys over on Saturday.
All right, I will.
I'm feeling heads.
Appreciate it.
I think I'm feeling heads. Just take that into consideration.
Hayden, you're doing a great job. Enjoy your game on Saturday.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. That's Hayden Mahoney joining us, Hurricane starting offensive lineman, who good study and perseverance. Also, I think what you kind of need is a guy that's been in the program for a while and fights to become a starter, and I think that kind of fits an offensive lineman. You want older guys on your offensive line. I think I would want older guys.
Well, if they don't believe you, tell them to go watch Wisconsin play.
Yeah.
You look at, hey, you don't realize this, Joe, but that room's Hayden's next year. He's going to be the only senior in that room, or, you know, as it sits right now, he's going to have a bunch of young guys sitting in there in starting positions, because you're going to lose you're losing your left tackle, you're losing your left guard, and you're losing your center. So there's going to be three spots that are going to be open. There's a good chance a couple of these freshmen that are on the field playing for Miami now are going to be starters next year. Those spots, that's going to be Hayden's room, and a lot of responsibility to come with it, and he can handle it. This is a guy that puts forth great effort every single day, and probably between him and Gautier, they've got a complete grasp of the entire playbook.
Lingard, fastest running back since Lamar Miller, right?
Oh, I think you're right on with that.
Lamar Miller broke a lot of long runs for touchdowns.
Lamar Miller, and I see it in the pros too, I mean, he always had a little pause in his deal, right? He was a track guy coming out of high school. Lingard has no pause. I mean, when you got to be coached up to avoid contact and to slow down and let it develop, you got speed.
So I do think we will see him a little bit. I mean, I think you give him the ball a couple of times, somehow work it in there, because he can give you – college football is about who are your points producers, right? I think he can be a point producer. I think down the road, Mark Pope can be a point producer.
I agree with you.
You know, when I don't know how long it's going to take for those two guys to get on the field at the same time, but college football is about scoring points.
And speed. Right? You don't have to coach that.
Just get them the ball and let them go. You know what speed does? It fixes your quarterback spot in a hurry.
fixes a lot of things in a hurry.
Yeah.
Right?
So I think they're pushing Pope as fast as they can. And
I'll tell you,
Rich is going to open the door, because, you know, when he's sitting there riding that bicycle all the time, someone else is going to get in there.
Well, I think that if you look at the tape, or if you remember, Pope would have had a heck of a catch.
Oh, yeah, he fell down.
I've seen him do that at practice.
He spun
out is right, and he's still learning how to control that speed.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to throttle down every now and then to get in and out of those cuts, but it's a good problem to have, I never knew about.
When they get it together with Pope and Lingard, not to take away from the guys that are there right now, but Pope and Lingard have a different gear, and Mallory and Jordan have hands. Those guys can catch.
You realize 7 catches between those two guys, and I think they got everything. I think they were only targeted that many times.
And then you put Hightower in that mix.
8 catches.
They're going to have a chance to get the ball in the end zone. They should, anyway.
Yeah, and I like the fact they're working Realist George at fullback, and they've got Gray in there now. And listen, we haven't seen Travis Homer.
Yeah,
hit all 4 gears.
He hasn't been what he was last year for some reason. I don't know if it was the LSU game. Every guy.
LSU
dinged
had
in there
a lot
or
to
something.
Do with that, right?
Yeah, he looked a little tentative.
Yeah, I
Is
think
that fair.
Yeah, that's fair. But I think that the talent on LSU's side had something to do.
No question about that.
Yeah, he's going to be. He's going to be just fine, you know. And I mean, I think that combination, DJ
you know,
Dallas.
Probably, you know what else is going to help Travis Homer?
What's
watching that? Lorenzo Lingard run 80 yards for a touchdown.
Well. I wish every position had that encouragement.
Okay, we'll gonna tee this sucker up on Saturday at 12 o'clock from the Glass Bowl.
Good news, we'll be home early. We'll be in Miami back 9 o'clock that evening, I believe.
It's only good news if you come back with a W.
Oh well, I'm planning on that.
Okay, all right. So we're gonna go to Toledo, Ohio. Hope you'll join us 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday pregame show. Kick it off at 12 o'clock, and looking forward to it. Stay tuned. Old Blues coming up next. Larry Bluestein, who's doing a magnificent job on our pregame show.
My pregame partner, the Blue himself, man.
He's got so much information in that head of his on players. It's funny to watch because you can see the gear spinning. I do think that at times, like, stuff is flying out of his head.
Yeah, and there's a lot of wisdom and a lot of knowledge in there. Blue does an A-plus job.
And Toledo's got a bunch of players from the state of Florida on their team, so he'll give you a complete rundown. Blue's coming up next right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.